Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with former Congressman Joe Heck for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Dr. Joe Heck, the former congressman. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Good to be with both you and Ray.
So an interesting week last week with the president pressing Danny Tarkanian to get out of the Senate race and to run for CD3. What do you think is going on here? Because Dean Heller, like yourself, was a Never Trumper for a long time, and now we are where we are.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good move. Certainly, I still believe that Dean would have prevailed in the primary and will prevail in the general election. I think he's done a good job at representing Nevada and works hard on behalf of his constituents. And I think that Danny probably saw that Dean was doing better than he had expected, and moving over to CD3 makes sense for him, having run there and narrowly lost in the last cycle.
Go ahead, Sam.
And I was going to say, you know, this is going to be a bloodbath, you know, whatever way it goes. And it was interesting. We had former Congresswoman Shelley Berkley on the program a couple of weeks ago, and she was putting out a warning for Jackie Rosen saying, don't take Dean Heller for granted.
Yeah, well, Dean does a good job on behalf of the folks in the state of Nevada. And I think one thing that folks need to keep in mind is that in the Senate, with its arcane rules and penchant for seniority, that, you know, having someone go to Washington other than Dean in the next election means that Nevada will have the most junior senatorial delegation that it's ever had since 1865, and Nevada became a state and our first two senators were elected.
Dr. Heck, of course, you used to represent CD3. Now we have a very large GOP field there. Who do you think Danny Tarkanian has the best shot to emerge as the winning candidate? And will you endorse any candidate before the primary?
Well, you know, CD3 is a very interesting district. And, you know, right now there's about a 7,000 Democratic voter edge, about 2%. And as you well know, you know, the first three times the seat was up for election, it was held by a Republican, lost in 8, and I took it for 3 terms, flipped, you know, after that. And so I think because it has such a large nonpartisan voter registration, almost 100,000 nonpartisan voters, which tend to break right most of the time, that it's a prime opportunity for Republicans to take back CD3. You know, Danny narrowly lost by about 1 percentage point last time. Interestingly, even though both myself and President Trump won that district, so I'm not sure how that bodes, you know, it moving into the next election cycle. The fact that you both the president and myself were able to win that district and Danny narrowly lost, but I think that it certainly is ripe for coming back, and I think it'll be interesting to see how the primary plays out. You know, now with 4, you know, primary candidates between Danny, Victoria Seaman, Scott Hammond, and Michelle Mortensen.
What's your advice for Danny?
Well, you know, Danny knows the district. I mean, he spent a lot of time there in the last election cycle. And as I've talked to other candidates within that district, I mean, the important thing is to make sure you get out and meet the voters. And people can't ignore the outer parts of CD3, places like Laughlin or Sandy Valley. So it's not just concentrating on the suburban area of Las Vegas and Henderson and Boulder City, but get out to the kind of outer rim of the district, even out to Prim. And make sure you visit with everyone in the district and leave no vote unturned.
Dr. Heck, do you think Danny Tarkanian can win a general election in CD3, especially as he aligns himself so closely with President Trump?
Well, I think it's going to be a close race regardless of who is the victor in the primary just because of the demographics of the district. You know, we saw what happened recently in Pennsylvania 18. You know, it seems that the Democrats may be more engaged and energized in this midterm election. And again, with a narrow margin that leans slightly Democrat right now, it can go either way, and it's going to be a very close race. If you recall, back when I took the seat in 2010. It was only by about 1,400 votes, you know, half a percentage point. So, again, you can't leave any vote unaccounted for.
I got to ask you this. Are you ever going to run again for elective office?
I don't know, Sam. I'm enjoying the break. You know, I've always enjoyed the policy more than the politics when it came to elected office. And right now, where Washington seems to be more consumed with politics over meaningful policy, it's hard to say, but as they say in politics, never say never.
All right, let's take a break. More with former Congressman Joe Heck when we come back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Congressman Joe Heck. Are you surprised that with Republican majorities in both houses and the White House of the failure to repeal and replace Obamacare?
Well, you know, certainly disappointed, not necessarily surprised. You know, again, it's difficult in the Senate with the, 60-vote requirement, although, you know, this time they did try to do it through budget reconciliation, which only would require the 51 votes. But just like any program that's put in place in Washington, you know, the longer it's been there, the harder it is to try to amend it or repeal it. And, you know, with the health care law now having been in effect since 2010, you know, it's hard to wind something like that back down. Not that I don't think they should try to continue. And, you know, I've always said there are parts of it that needed to be repealed, parts of it that needed to be replaced, and parts of it that needed to be repaired. And I still think that that's the most prudent way to go about it in order to try to make sure that people have access to quality health care, not just giving them access to health insurance, which doesn't necessarily relate to getting true health care.
It seems to me, though, that this act is going to fall on its own sword, not for the poor people, Who are getting the benefit of Obamacare, where they get insurance where they wouldn't have had it before. But for the large middle class that's not necessarily insured by their employer, the costs are going up so dramatically that people are just not going to be able to afford it. Plus, they're getting nothing for it. They're not getting the negotiated rates that they used to get. The insurance companies are just saying, hey, when you pay the deductible, that's when we jump in.
Well, and I don't disagree, Sam, but remember that for the large portion of the middle class who are now getting a policy or were forced to get a policy because of the individual mandate, that many of them were getting a policy with a deductible that they couldn't afford anyway. Many of them had deductibles of $5,000 or $6,000. And so, again, you know, all because you give somebody health insurance doesn't mean you can give them access to health care. And so there are things that need to be done to in order to decrease the overall cost of health care. And I think one of the options, which I had discussed and which, quite honestly, the president has talked about and is trying to move forward, is giving folks that work in similar occupations the ability to come together and buy an association health plan to give them the ability to negotiate a group rate in order to lower their overall costs. And I think that that is a viable option for those who don't necessarily get insurance through their employer, especially those that are independent contractors but belong to a specific professional association where they can come together and buy a policy and negotiate as a group.
Dr. Heck, do you see the Democrats picking up enough seats in the House in the 28th election to give them the majority in the House? And if they do get the majority, do you think that they would begin impeachment proceedings against the president?
Well, I think it's going to be very close, especially when you look at some of the retirements that we're seeing on the Republican side in the House and districts that lean Democrat that have been held by a Republican for several years. Also, with the change in the map in the state of Pennsylvania, which puts four or five seats from the Republican column more into the Democratic column, I think it'll be a close race. I think the House continues to stay Republican, but I don't think they will enjoy the 24-seat majority that they currently do. As to the second question, I'm not sure whether or not they would proceed with impeachment. There are some that have consistently called for it, but there are others that realize that it would be a folly because the likelihood of a conviction in the Senate is remote. And so why go through that process if it's for any other reason other than political grandstanding?
You know, one of the things I find interesting over the last week or so, and it's been going on for a while, really, is the number of Democrats that are up for election or re-election to the House that are running against Nancy Pelosi.
Well, certainly, even during my time in the House, we saw a contraction of the Democratic Blue Dog Caucus. And in fact, members who had been long-serving members who had decided not to run for re-election in the Democratic Party, one came to me and I asked him why he was no longer running. And he said, you know, there's no place for me in the Democratic Party anymore because he was the, you know, more socially moderate but fiscally conservative Democrat. And we've seen challenges to Nancy Pelosi's leadership position over the last two or three Congresses. And I think that many Democrats are realizing that in order to increase their chances of success, that they need to show a different position or taking a different tack for the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives.
What do you think the president's going to say about opioids today?
Well, yeah, I'm very interested, you know, as a physician in seeing what his plan is, and I'm hoping that there is certainly an emphasis on prevention and treatment more than punishment. We have seen that in the past with the war on drugs, which really hasn't done anything to decrease drug use or abuse in this country. And so I'm hoping that the focus is on prevention and treatment, but not putting a large burden on those that actually prescribe the medication, something that, we, you know, quite honestly, we saw here in Nevada with the recent law that was passed that put significant burdens on physicians who are only trying to do their job and take care of patients.
Do you think that more could be and should be done by both doctors who prescribe and pharmacists who deliver these meds to warn people of the danger of opioids and to limit the number of pills that they get initially and to give them the full information that get off these as soon as you can, because it is incredibly easy to become addicted.
I do, and I think that what we've seen in the use of narcotic pain medication has been another pendulum swing from one side to the other. It wasn't long ago where the complaint of pain was considered the fourth vital sign for physicians, and physicians were told that, you know, if a patient comes in and complains of pain, that you've got to accept that complaint. And if you didn't treat them for pain in the hospital emergency department, when your chart was reviewed, you were dinged because you didn't answer the mail for that patient. And now we've gone to swinging the pendulum to where they almost want you to think about every patient as a substance abuser before you prescribe the medication. There's got to be a happy medium where physicians do need to take a responsibility to warn their patients, as they do with every prescription that they write, about the potential adverse side effects. But to let the patient know and to prescribe it in small amounts, and that if the patient is a chronic pain patient, to let them be seen by a chronic pain management specialist who will then handle their pain.
All right, let's take a break. More with former Congressman Joe Heck right after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're enjoying a conversation with former Congressman Joe Heck.
Dr. Heck, your 2016 U.S. Senate race with Catherine Cortez Masto was so close. I mean, you were talking about how close the Danny Tarkanian race was, but yours was very, very close. Do you think your withdrawal of support for Donald Trump cost you the election after the Access Hollywood tape surfaced?
Everybody always does a post-mortem and wants to take a look back at what they could have done differently and what cost them the race. And quite honestly, I do not believe that that was the factor. I believe the factor was more that there were 80,000 more Democrats that turned out in that race than Republicans. I think the Democratic turnout machine was second to none in the state of Nevada in 2016, and that's what resulted in our narrow loss. We just didn't have the turnout.
And it's interesting that Senator Reid, while retired, is not exactly in retirement mode, as he seems to be controlling the Democratic Party, at least in Nevada, from his lair in Southern Nevada.
Well, certainly, the senator did an incredible job at building the machinery that has resulted in the election outcomes that we've seen over the last decade in this state. And no one really thought that he would, retire quietly off to Anthem. He has a vested interest as the former majority/minority leader to continue to try to keep Nevada blue. And he's done an incredible job at doing that.
Dr. Heck, one last thing. I wanted to go back to your 2016 U.S. Senate race. If you had to do it over again, would you still withdraw your support of Trump after that Access Hollywood tape came out?
Well, again, everyone wants to go back and talk about what would you have done to change the outcome of the race. And the only thing that we could have potentially have done was try to increase voter turnout and voter registration. Again, there was almost 140,000 more Democrats statewide. They outpaced us 80,000 you know, in the election itself. And I think that that's where the focus has to be for anybody even moving forward. I mean, as we look at the upcoming elections, and even though there is a narrowing of the registration gap, remember that the Democrats came on strong in 2016 at the last minute to increase their voter registration as well. And I don't think that's going to be anything different this cycle.
Okay, so Dr. Heck, you would still withdraw your support after that tape came out?
Yeah, I think I would have concentrated more on trying to increase voter registration and voter turnout, although we did everything that we think we possibly could have in light of the fact that there really wasn't a well-organized national campaign machinery here in the state.
As we look at the governor's race coming up, and you look at the three most prominent candidates, Steve Sisolak, Chris Giuliani, and Adam Laxalt, there's a lot of people on the Democratic side that are saying that split between Sisolak and Chris G could really open the door for Adam Laxalt, because if Chris G is not the winner, then a lot of Democrats may well stay home.
You know, I know all three well, having served with Chris when I was in the state Senate, and certainly knows Steve Sisolak from his time on the county commission, and obviously Adam as the AG. Again, I think it's going to be a very interesting race, very close towards the end. Ultimately, I believe that Adam prevails regardless of who the Democratic nominee is.
And that will be quite remarkable, considering it's been a long time since we had a Democrat as a governor in the state of Nevada.
Yes.
Despite everything. All right. So tell me about Donald Trump. You know, it's so interesting because on one side, you have the people who are totally against Trump and everything he stands for. On the other side, you have a booming economy. You have the tax cuts. I mean, the list goes on and on about what's doing well in this country. What do you make of it?
Well, I think a lot of the policy prescriptions that have come out of Washington, D.C., whether because they were originated by the president or out of the House or Senate, is responsible for what we're seeing with the economy and some of the changes. And I think that the general change in the mood of the American public. I think that there should be, and I wish there was, more emphasis and more concentrating on the policy, again, than there has been on the politics that's been going on within the Beltway, because I think Republicans and the president step on their own message when they get more involved in the political rhetoric than touting the policy wins that they've had.
But do you ever see that changing with the amount of money that's in Washington, D.C.?
Well, you know, one can always hope. I think that the idea that—
I love an optimist.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to be in this business. I think whether it was the Supreme Court confirmation of Neil Gorsuch or the tax cuts or what we're seeing in the stock market, even some of the foreign policy decisions that have been made, these are all wins for the country, and we should be concentrating on those things rather than continuing to try to rip each other apart.
And that's where we have to leave it. Former Congressman Joe Heck, pleasure to have you back on the program. Come back soon, please.
Thanks, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
On our next broadcast, Congresswoman Dina Titus. We'll see you then.